This world feels like a place where I don't wanna be. I feel so out of place here, 'cause it's just not home to me. But for now I'll tarry here, though the shadows dim my eyes. Still through this present darkness I can feel my spirit rise. Yes, there are blue skies a-coming, though the clouds are dark and gray. Though the thunder and the lightning say a storm is on the way. We've been promised sweet deliverance if we trust Him and obey. There are blue skies coming any day.
We're all too often troubled, but never in distress. We are never in despair, although bewildered, I confess. But in spite of persecution that the enemy deploys, we are not forsaken here, cast down but not destroyed. 'Cause there are
blue skies a-coming, though the clouds are dark and gray. Though the thunder and the lightning say a storm is on the way. We've been promised sweet deliverance if we trust Him and obey. There are blue skies coming any day. There are blue skies coming any day.
Well, there are
blue skies coming, though the clouds are dark and gray. Though the thunder and the lightning say a storm is on the way. Sweet deliverance if we trust Him and obey. There are blue skies coming any day. There are blue skies coming any day.
Are you ready to hear the word of the Lord this morning? Do you welcome these wonderful people? We didn't give the Gans a hand. Give them a big old hand. Come on. I want to hear it now. Hallelujah. I'm letting y'all do it. Oh, Brother Forbes loves them. Hallelujah. He's glad they're moving closer, too. It's a long ways to Oklahoma, isn't it? You may be seated. I love the Lord. Brother Joseph, just speak on your heart. Testify a minute, if you would. We want to meet you good. Amen.
Amen. Don't you appreciate the presence of the Lord here today? Amen. I feel a kindred spirit here, and so wonderful to see what the Lord is doing. And we were preaching Friday night there in Oklahoma, and I really felt the burden to talk to those young folks at that youth rally about being in the middle of God's will. And the fact that you'll never be happy, you'll never be satisfied, even though you might do somebody some good, you might make some progress in the kingdom of God, but you'll never really be satisfied until you find the perfect will of God. You'll never be happy with where you are. And there are times when you're in the middle of the will of God and people are looking at your life and they say, look what you're going through, look what you're facing, look what's going on in your family, but yet you have a smile on your face, yet you can serve God with gladness, and it's all because we found the middle of God's will. And I'm glad this morning to know that we have found God's will. And of course, we will be moving around the middle of September, and I'm so excited that your pastor, Brother Chambers, will be coming out to Bartlesville in the middle of September to preach our holiness rally there at Revival Time with Pastor Gans, and the people will just be able to love on him and meet him and get to know him so much better. And we've had some folks already tell us they're going to try to make some trips out here to come see us. And some of them got a little bit better reason to come to camp meeting now. And we're just trying to push in that direction as well. And I'm excited to see what the Lord is going to do in this church. I'm thankful to hear what the Lord has already done. Just since we've been here at camp meeting back in June and seeing the way that the Lord is working in your lives, and to see some new faces even here this morning sitting on these pews. And I'm just thankful to know that Jesus is the one building the church. It's not about a man. It's not about a ministry. It's not about Paul Creek, but it's about Jesus. And when we get back to glorifying the Son of God and lifting Him up, the Bible says, I will draw all men to myself. Are we interested in drawing people to Paul Creek, or do we want to draw them to Jesus? Amen. If we'll draw them to Jesus, if we'll lift Jesus up, hey, I can't change their life. Paul Creek can't change the life of the sinner. Paul Creek is not able to set the captive free. Paul Creek is not able, we're not able as men to set them free from drugs and alcohol and the life, the lascivious life that they're living. But the blood of Jesus Christ can do it. You believe that this morning? Amen. So we're so glad to be here, and we'll be looking for a house here in the next couple of days. So pray for us. Pray that God will give us wisdom. God will lead us and direct our steps. I believe in all of our ways that we should acknowledge Him, and He will direct our paths. Amen. Amen. If you'll go with me this morning to the book of Revelation, the last chapter, the last few verses of that chapter, I'd like to read to you this morning. I appreciate the Spirit of the living God here today. And I want to say how much I appreciate Pastor Chambers and First Lady. I would like to call her First Lady, Sister Chambers. And how much we love them. And I was telling someone, and it really hadn't dawned on me until I said it out loud, but it's been almost 15 years since we've met you all. Back in 2002. Oh no, it's, yeah, close to 14 years at least. And we have just fallen in love with Brother and Sister Chambers. And you prayed enough prayers, brother, because I got it. Praise the Lord. Amen. We love them so much, and want to give honor to whom honor is due. And Brother and Sister Forbes and Sister Charlotte Smith, otherwise known as Pawpaw and Mama and Gee. Amen. We love them so much. They surprised us coming in here this morning. And I want them to know how much that I love them. Pawpaw, you've been a great inspiration to me as a young man. And I want to say how much I love you and how much I appreciate you both. And Sister Charlotte, your prayers for us and for our ministry, they've been such a wonderful blessing to our family. Amen. Revelation 22, we'll begin reading in verse, let's begin reading in verse number 12. And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give every man according as his work shall be. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Blessed are they that do His commandments, and they that they may have right to the tree of life and may enter in through the gates into that city. For without are dogs and sorcerers, whoremongers, murderers, idolaters, and whosoever loveth and maketh a lie. I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David, the bright and the morning star. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. Let him that heareth say, come. Let him that is athirst, come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. Let's read down in verse number 20. He which testifieth these things saith, surely I come quickly. Amen. Even so come, Lord Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. Would you lift your hand to the Lord? Let's ask for help this morning. Father, we love you, Lord. We thank you for your presence. God, I thank you for your anointing this morning. I thank you, Lord, that this word through the ages has been settled in heaven. It is anointed. Lord, I pray that you would anoint this vessel as I declare your word. Anoint this great congregation. Lord, that in unity we might receive the word of God. Let me preach your word, Lord, nothing more, nothing less, nothing else but the truth, the unadulterated word of God. Lord, we thank you for this altar today. We thank you, Lord, for this altar service, and we pray your blessing upon your people in Jesus' name. And if you're rapture ready this morning, say amen. 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 You can be seated. Praise the Lord. We look at how Jesus came to this earth the first time. The first time that he came, the Bible tells us that he took upon him the form of a man. He was made in the likeness of men, and being found in fashion as a man, Philippians chapter 2 tells us he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. And as we sang this morning, therefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven, of things in earth, and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Amen. I can tell you there will come a day when every knee shall bow to the name of Jesus. Every knee in heaven shall bow. Every knee in this earth. And every knee of every creature that now abides under the earth. The Bible says that they shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Amen. He was given power with God. He came to this earth in the lowest form. He came as a human being. He came and dwelt in the likeness of man. He was made sin for us. He took upon himself the form of a servant. And we can read in the book of Luke chapter 1 and verse 30, the Bible says that the angel said unto Mary, "Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus." Amen. And the Bible goes on to tell us that he shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there shall be no end. I like the song we sang this morning. The kingdoms of this world shall soon before him fall. Amen. Let us read on. Then said Mary unto the angel, "How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? How am I going to bear a child, seeing I'm not married? I've not yet consummated my marriage." And the angel answered and said unto her, "The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God." Amen. We realize that not only was this woman a virgin, not only was she untainted by the blood and by the life of another man in this world, but she was holy and pure before God. The reason why that Jesus came with power, the Bible tells us that the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. You've got to realize that from the very beginning, the third person of the triune Godhead was involved in the birth of Jesus Christ. She was untainted by another man of this world, but the Bible says that she was overshadowed by the Holy Ghost. He came in the power of the Spirit. He was not born of a man. He was not born of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but he was born of the will of God. He was born by the power of the Holy Ghost. I don't understand how a virgin can be with child, but I understand that the prophecy was made, "Unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful and Counselor. He'll be the mighty God, the everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace." I don't understand how a virgin can become with child, but I do know in this next verse the Bible tells us, behold thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month with her who is called barren, for with God nothing shall be impossible. Amen. That's how it happened, by the power of the Holy Ghost. And so we know that as Jesus was growing up, as he was found there in the temple, he was about his Father's business, no doubt already being led by the Holy Ghost, already being led by the Spirit of God. And the Bible says that there came a day when Jesus was to be revealed, and John the Baptist standing on the bank of that river, and he said, there is one that's coming after me whose shoe I'm not worthy to unloose. I'm not worthy to serve him. I'm not worthy to even bend down and untie his shoes. But the Bible said that John testified. He said, I indeed baptize you with water, but there's one coming that's mightier than I, and he shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Glory to God. And the Bible tells us that Jesus at that moment began walking down the muddy bank of that Jordan River, and John said, I can't baptize you. But Jesus, knowing that he had to come under the authority of a man of God, he surrendered himself and he said, suffer it to be so now. And the Bible said when he came out of the water that a voice came from heaven, and God revealed the King. God revealed his Son. He said, this is my beloved Son. And the Bible says that a dove came down from heaven, a picture of the gentleness of the Holy Ghost, and it bodily descended upon him, showing the world that this was the Son of God, this was the Messiah, this was the Christ, the anointed one that was prophesied should come. When he came the first time, he came with power. Hallelujah. And the Bible tells us in the book of Hebrews, chapter 9 and verse number 14, that when he had ascended back to his Father, the reason why there's so much power, why did he choose blood? Why are we washed in the blood? Because it's life that's in that blood. But can I tell you, friend, he came with such power, and when he ascended back to the Father, the Bible says that he, through the eternal Spirit, offered his blood before his Father on that mercy seat in the presence of God. I can tell you, friend, that the first time that he came to this earth, the whole world knew that something was going on. Not just because there was a star in the east, but I believe all of nature, all of creation realized that now deity has come to this earth. Amen. He came with power. Amen. When he came, we read on in the book of Luke, chapter number 2 and verse 8, we see that Jesus not only came with power, but he was announced by the angels. They were in the same country, shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the Bible says the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, according to the prophecy made 700 years previous in the book of Psalms, in the book of Isaiah. We can read that that he would come to the city of David. He would be a Savior, and he is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. And there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace and goodwill toward men. I can tell you, friend, that when he came to this earth, it was no small happening. The kings that came to worship him, there was another
earthly king that tried to destroy him, but when he came with prestige. I realize that he was born in a manger. I realize that he was born in a place that was less than worthy for royalty, but never ever had it ever been before that a group of angels stood in the sky and sang that the Son of God has come to earth, that Messiah has come to earth, and he came with an angelic announcement. There's a Savior born. There's a Messiah born. The Christ has come to this earth. He came with prestige. They brought him gifts from the east. Those wise men, those kings, they came. They brought gold, the gift for a king. They brought frankincense for worship, to worship the Most High God. But they also brought myrrh. I believe they knew the scripture. They knew the prophecy. They said, we've seen his star in the east, and we are come to worship him. He came as a king to this earth. Amen. He came with such prestige. Though he was born in a manger, though he was born in the lowliest place, yet he came with the announcement of angels. For unto you, he was born as a baby. He came in the form of flesh for you. The Bible says that we have an high priest touched with the feeling of our infirmities. Had he not come as a child, he would not understand what it would be like. Had he not come as a human being, he would not be able to be that high priest for us, suffering and feeling the things that we have gone through. Isaiah 53 tells us, for surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. That wasn't just talking about up the hill called Calvary. That wasn't just talking about carrying his cross up the Via Della Rosa, but I believe that Jesus knew what it was like to suffer in the flesh. He knew what it was like to be in anguish, to be in a place where he could realize and understand how we would feel as humans. The Bible says he's faced every temptation. He's faced every heartache. He bore our griefs and carried our sorrows. He was born in the flesh. I don't understand how an individual can be 100% God, but yet 100% man. He was able in his deity to cry from the cross, Father, forgive them. But yet in his humanity, he cried out, I thirst. He knew everything was accomplished, and he put everyone else first, and he put himself last. And we see the humanity, the human side of the Son of God, and he said, I thirst, and he said it for us. He could not have done that except that he came in the flesh. He came in the flesh. Amen. In the book of Matthew chapter 1, let's read. The Bible tells us, gives us another example, another story, another outline of how the angel came to Mary. And according to the book of Matthew, it reads like this in verse number 21. The angel came, verse number 20, but while Joseph thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of what? Of the Holy Ghost, born of the Spirit. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. For what purpose did he come to this earth, friend? For he shall save his people from their sin. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Amen. The very reason that he came, The angel told them, the angel told Joseph, he said, thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sin. All throughout the Gospels we can read, Jesus would stand and overlook Jerusalem. Jesus would stand in front of a crowd of individuals, and the Bible many times would say that he was moved with compassion, that he groaned within himself. He stood in front of the tomb of Lazarus, and he wasn't just weeping because of a loss of a friend, of a loss of someone that was close to him, but he was weeping for Mary and Martha. He was weeping because they did not believe. I can tell you, friend, that when Jesus came, he came with a passion for mankind. He came with a passion for souls. I appreciate what we've heard this morning by the mouth of our pastor, that it's still all about souls, that God still wants us to be in the business of winning souls. Can I tell you, friend, that Jesus, when he came, he wasn't concerned about a pulpit ministry. He wasn't concerned about what everybody thought about him. He wasn't concerned about the scribes and the Pharisees. No, friend, he was concerned about a man sitting on the road to Jericho that had been beaten, and the others that passed him by. But he was concerned about showing the great love of God like that Samaritan did. His passion was for people. His passion was for his fellow men. His passion was for the Jew. His passion was to be about his Father's business. Amen. He came with passion, for he shall save his people from their sin. His people. I realize they missed their day of visitation when he walked this earth. I realize that they cried while he was on that cross, his blood be upon us and upon our children. And even to this day, friend, they're living out the curse they put upon themselves when they said, let his blood be upon us. But I can also tell you, friend, that there will come a day, the Bible says, that every eye shall see him. That's not just talking about the rapture, but that's talking about when he comes, when our Lord shall come back to earth again, and Satan will be bound to that. I can tell you, friend, the Bible said they shall look on him whom they have pierced. The Jew will realize who he is. The Jew will realize that he is the Messiah. Oh, yes, he came with a passion for his people. But this, my friends, was just the way that he came the first time. This is how he came the first time, overshadowed by the anointing of the Holy Ghost, came with an angelic announcement. He came, the angels said that he was coming. He was hailed as the King of the Jews even while hanging on the cross. And 1 week earlier, many in this same crowd were saying, blessed is he that comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna to the King of Kings. Amen. But I can tell you, friend, that when he comes back the second time, he's going to come back with prestige. You know how he's coming back? The Bible tells us in the book of Acts chapter 1, Jesus had given them their final commandment, their final decree, go and tarry at Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. Gave them the great commission. They asked him, are you going to set up your kingdom? He said, it's not for you to know the time or the season, but you're going to receive power. And the Bible tells us in verse number 9, when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up and received by a cloud out of their sight. And they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, and behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as you have seen him go into heaven. The Bible said that a cloud received him out of their sight. Now let's turn over to the book of Revelation Revelation chapter 1 and verse number 5 from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead, the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Behold, he cometh with clouds. Hallelujah. The very same way that he left this earth, the Bible said that a cloud received them out of their sight. But I can tell you, friend, there's coming a day when the eastern sky is going to roll back, and the Bible said that he's going to come back with clouds. Jesus, of his own testimony, standing before Pilate, he said, "You'll not see me again, but when you do see me, I'll be coming in clouds with all of the angels, with the presence of the Holy Father." He said, "I'm coming back with prestige. I would like to be an angel of the church this morning." I believe we've heard from the angel of the church at Paul Creek. He's given him the message that he's coming back with clouds. This same Jesus, which you see taken away, he's coming back in like manner. He went away with glory, and he's coming back with glory. He went away with power, and he's coming back with power. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He's coming back as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so.
Amen.
Can you say that this morning? Even so come. Even so come quickly. Come, Lord Jesus. You heard Sister Amy testify this morning. I realize our children are being raised in a Pentecostal home. They're being raised in an atmosphere of holiness. But my friend, there's going to come a time, should the Lord tarry, they step out on their own. I want to redeem the time, because the days are evil. We're living in the last and the evil day. It would just be fine with me, Papa Forbes, for Jesus to come back and them not have to face that kind of temptation, that kind of persecution. I would like to say this morning, with the Apostle John, even so come, Lord Jesus. Lord, come get me right now. I don't need 5 minutes to get ready. I don't need 5 minutes to make a phone call. I don't need 5 minutes to go across the aisle and make it right with somebody. But even so come quickly, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Come on, let's worship the Lord here for a moment. Oh, Jesus, we feel your presence. Lord, strike that chord one more time in our hearts to realize that your coming is soon. Hallelujah, hallelujah. So not only is he coming the second time with clouds, with prestige, but when he comes the second time, the Bible says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse number 13, "I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain," that's Paul Creek sitting right here this morning, "we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord, we're not going to prevent them that are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God." I believe that Jesus is passionate about his bride. I realize he came with a passion for his people, to save his people from their sin. But can I tell you that when we're engrafted into the body of Christ, when we're engrafted into the bride of Christ, there's neither Jew nor Gentile, there's neither bond nor free, but we've been all made to drink into the same spirit. We've been all made part of the body of Christ. And if you'll make a choice to make yourself ready, as it says in Revelation 19:7, the bride hath made herself ready, you can be a part of the bride. You can be a part, like he said in Song of Solomon, "Come up into my chamber, come up until the indignation be overpowered." I tell you, friend, I feel the Holy Ghost this morning. I'm not going to go through a tribulation. I'm not going to go through hell on this earth. I'm going to be at a marriage, and he's going to be showing his passion and his love for us. He's going to descend from heaven with a shout and with the voice. You can't tell me this morning that Jesus is not sitting on the edge of his seat praying for us. Father, is it time? Father, can I go get my bride? I believe he's ready. He's got a passion for us today. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, even so, come, Lord Jesus. He's coming with power. He's coming with authority. He's coming with clouds. He's coming with a passion for his people. He's coming with a passion for his bride. He's coming with a passion for those who are in love with him. To them that look for him shall he appear the second time. Those that love his appearing, the Bible says, he'll appear the second time without sin unto salvation. But I can tell you, friend, he may have come the first time in power, overshadowed by the Holy Ghost. But the Bible tells us in the book of Revelation chapter 19, let me read it to you, and beginning in verse number 11, the Bible says, I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called faithful and true, and in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns, and he had a name written that no man knew but he himself, and he is clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven followed upon him with white horses, clothed in fine linen and white and clean, and out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should destroy, it should smite the nations, and that he should rule them with a rod of iron. And he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King and Kings and Lord of Lords. I can tell you, friend, that when he comes back, he's going to come with such great power. He's going to come with such great authority. It's not going to be like the first time. He's not going to be under the thumb of a king who threatens his life physically. No, friend. There's never going to be a king to stand before the King of Kings. But every knee is going to bow. I said every knee is going to bow. Every president is going to bow. Every congressman is going to bow. They're going to bow to his authority. They're going to bow to his leadership. When he was born, his life was threatened. The three kings, they came. They brought their gifts. And the king told them, Herod told him, bring me word again that I may come and worship him also. Herod was not concerned about worshiping the Christ. Herod was concerned about the threat to his own kingdom. And so he sent out a decree. When the wise men did not return, he said, we're going to kill all the children. We're going to kill all the baby boys. We're going to kill all the toddlers from 2 years old and under. We're going to make sure that we take care of this king. We're going to make sure that we throw down his kingdom before it ever gets started. Can I tell you something this morning, friend? That there is nothing in this world. There's not a devil in hell. There's not a stronghold big enough to cast down the kingdom of our God. I said there's not a power strong enough to make a dent in the kingdom of our God. The Bible says that he will build his church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. He's coming back with power. He's not going to be threatened by any other authority. Why? Because he's been given all authority and all power. All things will be put under his feet. The Bible says, for he must reign. He's been given all authority. Given all authority and all power. Not born under another authority. Not born under another man. He will not be threatened in his kingdom. You hear me and hear me well. I heard an individual preaching the other day, and he said, you can create the kingdom of God where you are. My friend, there is nothing further from the truth. The kingdom of God is not able to be created by a man, because it was created from the beginning, from the very foundation of the world. The first puzzle piece in the kingdom of God, the Bible said that he was from the foundation of the world as a lamb slain. Piece number one, cornerstone number one. He's the cornerstone which the builders rejected and they disallowed. But there's going to come a time that if they don't fall on the rock and break themselves, if they don't surrender to him, the Bible says the rock will fall upon them. We see the rock coming down the mountain and destroying the kingdoms of this world. His kingdom will be forever. Of his kingdom there shall be no end. To order it and to establish it, Isaiah tells us. Of his government and of his peace there shall be no end. The government shall be upon his shoulders. Not on the shoulders of a mortal man. Not on the shoulders of a man the media can point at and call names and make fun of. But when he comes, friend, the media is going to be in such a disarray, they're not going to know what to do. But the Bible says he's going to come with power and with great glory. He's going to be the final authority. He's going to be the final say. He's going to be the final judge. I can tell you, friend, there ain't going to be no system. There ain't going to be no Supreme Court that can pass a law against him. There ain't going to be no president with a stroke of a pen to make an executive order against the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. But this world is going to crumble at the feet of Christ. I said the kingdoms are going to crumble at the feet of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Who is this that's coming from Basra? Who is this that's got his garments rolled in blood? You read about those that are riding behind him. They don't have blood on their garments. They're just with him. They're riding with him. The blood is on his garment. You know why that is? Because he's the one that's got the sword in his mouth. He's the one that's destroying the enemy with the word of God. Can I tell you, friend, that he's King of Kings. He's Lord of Lords. He don't need nobody to prop him up, but he's king all by himself this morning. Are you ready to serve a king like that? Are you ready to come to a king like that? Are you ready to bow and worship at his footstool this morning? Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, and the trump of God shall sound, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. I read it to you. I quoted it to you this morning, friend. I want you to be comforted. That's what the next verse says. Wherefore, comfort one another. He said, we're going to rise to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Could this young preacher comfort you this morning that the things that we're facing in the media, the things that we're facing in the kingdoms of this world, it's not always going to be like this. It's not always going to be race against race, brother against brother, kingdom against kingdom. But there's going to come a time, the Bible says, he's going to bind old Slewfoot, one angel with a great chain, and he's going to cast him into that pit, and we're going to experience a spiritual and physical utopia of 1,000 years of peace, a millennial reign under a king that will never die. I said a king that will never perish, a king who cannot be conquered. One man said, what do you do with a king who can raise himself from the dead? What do you do with a king who has the power to resurrect his own armies? I tell you what we can do. We can bow our knee and confess him to be our king this morning. Stand with me all over the house. Oh! Come on, let's worship the king this morning. King of Kings and Lord of Lords. King of Kings. Come on, Mama, come to this piano. Help me this morning if you would. Come on, let's worship the Lord. Hallelujah. King of Kings. We worship the King this morning. Oh, not just my Savior, not just my friend, but my Lord, my boss. He's the one calling the shots in my life. He's the one directing my footsteps. I'm the good man. He's the Lord. That's ordering my footsteps. I can tell you this morning, friend, if he's not Lord, then he's not Savior. I said, if he's not King, then he can't be your friend. He's got to be your Lord first. He's got to be in charge of your life this morning. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord, that your word excites us. It excites our spiritual man. It excites us, Lord, even down to our physical bodies. We feel the power of the kingship of the Lord Jesus Christ. There will be no king to overturn his throne, but he must reign. He must reign. And Father, I ask you this morning, as we pray together as the saints of God, Father, I ask you if there's one individual here this morning that Jesus Christ is not their King, Jesus Christ is not their Lord, I pray, God, that you would deal with their heart. I believe you already have. Father, it may even be someone who claims to be a Christian, but yet on the inside, they've never surrendered to the Lord of Lords. They've never surrendered to the King of Kings. Father, I pray this morning before we leave this house that every knee will be able to bow, if not physically, then in our hearts, we might be able to bow and confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Father, would you touch every heart that's here today in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Keep your heads bowed here with me if you would, please. As the Holy Ghost deals with our hearts, I wonder, would there be one individual this morning you need to find your place in this altar? Jesus loves you this morning, friend. I have preached to the very best of my ability to help you understand how Jesus came the first time. But when he comes again, he's not just coming to show off his kingdom. He's not just coming for the world to know that he's the boss, but he is coming because he wants an eternal relationship with you. He wants an eternal friendship with you. He wants to be Lord of your life. He wants to be in charge of your life. And I beg you this morning, friend, don't walk out of these doors without accepting Jesus Christ. Don't walk out of these doors without knowing that he's King of Kings. Don't walk out of this house without bowing your knee before him and confessing him as your Lord. We don't know when he's coming, friend. This might be the last opportunity for you to bow your knee in the presence of the Lord. Hallelujah. Won't you come this morning? Meet me in this altar. We're going to turn it back to Pastor Chambers here, but won't you come and meet me in this altar? Everyone that will, everyone that's able. Amen. I would like to have 100% participation today, friend, that we might bow in this altar. If you need healing for your body, come to this altar. We'll lay hands on you and pray and believe God. If you need to be saved, come down to this altar and seek the face of the Lord. Cry out and repent of your sin and make it right with him, and God will forgive you. Won't you come to this altar this morning, friend, each and every one.
I will stand in the presence of Jesus, and I'll see the Lord face to face. With my very eyes, I'll witness his glory when I finally finish my race. But the burdens of life sometimes get so heavy that I need to touch him somehow. But I don't have to wait until I get to heaven. By faith I can touch him now. I can reach out and touch the hem of his garment. I know he will make me whole. For he's passing by this very moment. Can you feel the virtue that flows? Gates of that city, by grace I will make it somehow. But I don't have to wait. angels and millions of saints round the throne. I'll worship the Lord and sing hallelujah without all the trouble I've known. And I'll see those hands that lifted my burdens, and I'll see those scars on His brow. But I don't have to wait until I get to heaven.